20 minutes a day, 365 days a year. This is the Pack-A-Day Podcast.
What is up, everybody? Happy Saturday. Welcome into an all-new episode of the Pack-A-Day Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Herman. You can follow me on Twitter at Andy Herman NFL. You can find the podcast at Pack-A-Day Podcast. Hope your weekend is treating you well. Always appreciate the support. Thanks so much for being here. Today, we're going to be talking about DK Metcalf. Most specifically, the idea that the Packers and Seahawks are talking about a DK Metcalf trade. The rumor mill is going wild. We've got buzz. We've got rumors. We've got a little bit of everything, and it's going to be a fun episode to dig into today. The first thing I'll say is believe what you want. This is the time of year where everything's a little bit cryptic. Everyone's got different sources. You've got the fake rumor mill sites out there just spitting out stuff one thing after the other. And the best thing that I can tell you is just have fun with it, right? Like, did the Packers call about DK Metcalf? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe they did. Maybe they didn't. I don't know. But you know what? This is what this stuff is all for. It's, at the end of the day, entertainment. I think the hot stove nature of this and what's going on throughout the league and the buzz and the rumors and the excitement. I've talked about this before, but for any of you that are wrestling fans, like, wrestling in and of itself, if you're a wrestling fan, is fun. But like, sort of the, you know, just trying to like book who you think should be the champion, or some of like the fantasy booking and who could go from one company to the other. That's like the part of the fun in and of itself. When you're watching a show like Severance or Westworld when it was on, or Game of Thrones is always such a great example of this. The show in and of itself is good, but then you listen to the week, to the podcast of like, oh, what's going to happen next in the storyline, or what could they be building towards, or like all these different sort of almost rumors of like that get you all excited and like make you want to tune in next week, right? This is exactly what this is. Whether or not DK Metcalf becomes a Packer or not, it's just fun to talk about, discuss what would he be as a part of the Green Bay Packers? What would it take to get him in exchange? This is all part of the fun of the offseason. We get to complain and crap on when the Packers don't take the draft picks that we want, or when they lose in season and there's everyone's upset and angry all the time. There's a time and a place where like, let's just have fun with it. So I don't know. I have no idea if this is actually a thing or not a thing. For those of you who are in the dark on all of this, here was the timeline of events that took place on Friday. 9:43 a.m., Corbin Smith, somebody I have never heard of before. That's not a diss on Corbin Smith. There's a billion people covering the NFL in some capacity. The majority of them I have not heard of. But he's a Seahawks reporter, and he's the host of Locked On Seahawks. So this isn't just, you know, nobody, right? This is somebody that has some level of connections here. He's a reporter, host of obviously a you know, popular Seahawks podcast, in the Locked On Seahawks podcast. He tweets out one team to close. He was basically doing a thread of like the Seahawks and trades and Metcalf and things like that. And he said, quote, one team to keep close tabs on, the Packers. A source indicated they have had discussions with the Seahawks this week and have an offer on the table that includes a high pick and a young receiver on their roster to acquire Metcalf. Obvious connection to Schneider as well. Not sure how much that last part really matters in this entire scheme of things, but his report is that the Packers have an offer on the table for DK Metcalf that includes a high draft choice and a young receiver. We'll get into that receiver part more in just a moment. That was at 9:43 a.m. 9:50 a.m., Peter Bukowski, Locked On Packers. Obviously, friend of the show, but also enemy of the show, because, you know, it's Locked On Packers. This is Pack-A-Day, sort of competing, but now Peter does great work. He tweets out there, I can confirm Corbin's reporting here. League source told me Green Bay has been working on this and has an offer they think can land DK Metcalf. Then the hope is trading Jair Alexander to backfill some of the lost draft capital if they can get it. So Green Bay trading some draft capital away for DK Metcalf. Green Bay then also trading Jair Alexander, hoping to recoup some of that draft capital. And that's what we're looking at here for Green Bay. So initially tweeted by Corbin Smith and then basically confirmed by Peter Bukowski. At 10:21, Brian Nemhauser, who is a journalist covering the Seahawks for over 18 years, tweets, DK Metcalf isn't going anywhere, period. That was his own tweet. All right, well, that's a different take on it. 10:41, Corbin Smith comes back. Based on what I've heard, for the Seahawks to move DK Metcalf, the trade would have to be structured to receive number 23, not meaning Jaire Alexander, meaning the 23rd overall pick in the draft, Green Bay's first round draft pick, and either Romeo Doubs or, he says, Dontarian Wicks, but of course, Dontavian Wicks, in exchange for a receiver and one of their early day three selections. All right, so this is what, again, receiver meaning DK Metcalf here. So their first round pick and Romeo Doubs for DK Metcalf and an early day three selection. So you're looking at a fourth round pick. First, and let's just say Doubs, a first and Doubs for Metcalf and a fourth. That's what he's saying it would take for the Seahawks to move off of DK Metcalf. And he said anything less than that, and it's not happening. So this is at 10:41 a.m. 11:17 a.m., Matt Schneidman of The Athletic, of course, does a great job covering the Packers, tweets out, according to a source, there has been no contact or negotiations as of now between the Packers and Seahawks regarding a DK Metcalf trade. All right. Corbin Smith comes back at 11:19 a.m. and says, per a league source, Packers have been open to the idea of moving their first-round pick for DK Metcalf, in part because, as Peter Bukowski reported, they believe they can get similar compensation back for corner Jaire Alexander in a separate deal. Lots of moving parts here. 5 minutes later, Corbin Smith, I'm sticking with what I've reported. I trust the sources I've spoken with. Teams are going to do what they can to cover themselves this time of year. 11:38, Corbin Smith. Just for clarification here, the Packers aren't going to get a first rounder for Jaire Alexander. I poorly worded that tweet with the point being that they could get a day two selection from corner needy teams, and that is why they may be more inclined to be aggressive with pick 23. He would later go on to clarify that Peter Bukowski would say that, you know, like an early day three pick would be the very best and so on and so forth. So there's a little bit of backtracking on some of that. Your guess is as good as mine. I appreciate and respect a lot of the players at hand here. Matt Schneidman does an incredible job. He reached out to his sources, and his sources say no contact or negotiations between the Packers and the Seahawks regarding the DK Metcalf trade. The wording of as of now was slightly interesting. Not sure if that meant anything or maybe meant nothing, but that was slightly interesting. And of course, Corbin Smith doubled down on it. Peter Bukowski had a source that, or sources that, you know, told him that the Packers were in play here. My answer is we will see. Maybe it's something. Maybe it's much ado about nothing. In theory, in concept, a DK Metcalf to the Packers deal could make sense for both sides. Now, the meat and potatoes of this trade were all over the place from Corbin Smith here. I do not see Green Bay having any appetite, and I mean any appetite, to give up pick 23 in a trade for DK Metcalf. I would be pretty stunned overall if that happened. As we've talked about, I do not think there's any way in which Jaire Alexander is garnering any sort of top 100 draft pick in return. So the idea that they can be super aggressive with a first round pick and trading it away because they might get a top 100 pick for Jaire Alexander also does not pass the sniff test to me. So there's a couple little pieces here that make me go, I'm not sure I'm buying all of this, right? But in general theory, Green Bay clearly has a need for wide receiver. We've been talking about it almost daily. And trying to find a receiver that makes sense for Green Bay has been near impossible, whether it's free agency, trade, draft, etc. Finding the player that makes the most sense for this team this year at wide receiver has been insanely hard, to the point where when we did our wide receiver episode, well, maybe a week ago, right around there, there were two wide receivers, you know, that I kind of really, you know, made sense of, that I think at least arguably made the most sense. And that was, I put it in tiers actually. And that was tier one, Devontae Adams and DK Metcalf. Then tier two was maybe a Darius Slayton, tier three, DJ Chark, Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, Deami Brown or MVS. But Adams and Metcalf were really the only two that you could kind of get to if you're looking for a top flight wide receiver that would maybe make any sense. And even at that time, we didn't even know if Metcalf was actually going to be available. But he does make sense for what Green Bay needs, a field stretcher, a playmaker. They don't just need a guy. He would be great in this offense overall. I think Matt LaFleur would have to maybe tweak a couple things specific to DK. That's fine. I would love to see Jordan Love throwing down the field to DK Metcalf, or any layer of the field for that matter. I think it's a very smart move for Green Bay. And if you're looking to upgrade that wide receiver room, as we've talked about almost daily, is it just is really difficult to do so with the market that's available right now. That's why DK could make some sense here. For the Seahawks, they are not in a great salary cap situation. They don't have a long-term contract set up for DK Metcalf, and that might be a difficult conversation starter. And if they don't think he's going to be here for more than a year, they could look to recoup a major asset right now and trade him now rather than wait until he leaves in free agency next year. And then the following year, they get some sort of comp pick. Like, that's a couple years away, right? So by moving him now, you get a return on your investment. You might not get that if he leaves in free agency next year. So there is legitimate reasons why this would make sense for both sides. The non-starter for me for Green Bay is the first round pick. I really don't think Goody would be interested. Even if it was like first and Dobbs for Metcalf in a third, I don't think Green Bay does that. If you're looking at what compensation really does make sense, I do believe Green Bay's second round pick and a Romeo Dobbs is right about right for both teams. For the Seahawks, they basically move on from a wide receiver that they're not sure they're going to be able to sign long-term. They have some legitimate salary cap savings. In addition, they get a young wide receiver in Romeo Dobbs to come in and play this year on a cheap deal. Then they can evaluate him throughout the season to see if they want to bring him back for next year. And at least if nothing else, they get Romeo Dobbs to go with, you know, because Tyler Lockett's probably on the way out. So Dobbs to go with Jaxon Smith-Njigba for the time being. And they get a top 50 pick as well in return, which is great return on investment because they spent less on DK when they initially drafted him, got some really great years out of him, now can move on and still recoup that second round pick. So I think it makes sense for Seattle. For Green Bay, we've been talking about it. Like they need a big time playmaker wide receiver. As we talked about, there's nobody out there. To give up a second round pick in Romeo Dobbs is maybe a little bit steep, but you get a major upgrade at wide receiver. The second piece of this, though, that we really need to discuss here is the contract. That's going to be another potential stumbling point of this entire situation is DK Metcalf, when he goes to a team, is going to want a new deal. And Green Bay acquiring DK Metcalf is going to want a new deal as well, because they're not going to want to allow him just to leave in free agency next year after giving up a second round pick in Romeo Dobbs, should that come to fruition. So a contract will have to have been agreed upon when making that trade. So there are a ton of moving parts here. Seattle's got to be open and willing to trade Metcalf. Has to make sense for them. They've got to get the return that they're looking for. And it has, you know, in this case, from a Green Bay standpoint, you know, they could shop him all throughout the league, not just to Green Bay. So Green Bay is going to have to be the highest bidder as well if he is available out there. And for the Packers, you know, again, it makes sense, but they're going to have to figure out the right compensation with Seattle. And even above and beyond that, they're going to have to figure out the right compensation for DK Metcalf. And then they're going to have the appetite for trading away a second round pick, which Goody is, you know, he holds onto those things really, really tight. He doesn't like giving them up. And then, of course, if you're giving up a young wide receiver, whether that's a Wicks or a Dobbs, that's a piece of that as well that you have to really reconcile and say, are we okay with that? And is DK going to be a big enough upgrade from whatever wide receiver that you're giving up to give up an additional second round pick or whatever it might be on top of that? But I do think you can make a very strong case as to why Green Bay would be interested, why Seattle would be interested in this deal. And then I think it really just comes down to compensation. And I'll say one more time, I think a second and Dobbs makes all the sense for both sides. Give or take, whatever, like a sixth round pick either way. So a second and Dobbs for Metcalf and a sixth, or Metcalf, you know, for Dobbs and a second and a sixth, like maybe there's, you know, on either side that you could argue it one way or the other. But to me, Dobbs plus a second for Metcalf makes all the sense in the world for both sides. I think for Green Bay to get that big time playmaker on the outside is going to be massive. And the one other piece on top of that too is, you know, if Green Bay is looking out there for a big time playmaker, just a big time addition to this team, and they're willing to spend the money, there's not really that 1A player in free agency that makes all the sense in the world. So you might have to be a little bit more thinking outside the box and maybe utilizing some trade and draft capital as well to go and get a player that you can spend that money on because they're not really available in free agency, at least certainly not at wide receiver. So all of these things are going to be worth monitoring. We've done an episode on DK Metcalf in totality a few weeks ago. So if you're looking for that, we do a full scouting report on Metcalf and what he would bring to the team. It's out there on the Packaday audio station, as well as right here on the YouTube channel as well. So you're more than welcome to go and check that out. Again, I do a full scouting report on DK, but just to kind of give you a small piece of it, turned 27 in December, 6'4", 235, had 66 catches for 992 yards and 5 touchdowns this past year. I don't think that totally does him justice. I will also add on top of that, that he is a measure of consistency at wide receiver. He's going to bring the same thing pretty much game in and game out. He's been pretty much the same player from when he came into the league until now. Just a really good, talented freakazoid wide receiver that has unbelievable height, weight, speed, and can get open downfield and can stretch the field in a pretty significant way. Solid blocker on the outside, not spectacular, but he's a good receiver and would add a lot to that wide receiver room in Green Bay. As I mentioned, I think it makes sense for the Packers. I think it could make sense for Seattle. I'll just say this too, as we kind of wrap up the DK portion of this, it's complicated. And these trades usually are, you know, for, again, Seattle, they got to feel like they're getting the ROI that they want for trading away a DK Metcalf. They don't have to do it. And again, other teams could be involved as well. For the Packers, they got to believe that they're getting a player that's worth giving up a second round pick or whatever it might be, plus a young, you know, wide receiver. That's going to be a tough sell for Goody, sincerely. Like, we know he likes his young players and we know he likes his draft picks. So giving it up for DK Metcalf, probably going to be tough for him. And then the negotiations with Metcalf and the team as well, figuring out a new contract. Those are all a lot of moving parts, and they all have to align almost identically at the same time for all the right reasons for this sort of trade to kind of make sense and for it to actually come to fruition. So very complicated, not impossible. I can see why both teams, again, would be interested. And last thing, again, I'll say here is that Green Bay, there's not a lot of other options out there. So it's very clear as to why they may be interested in this type of deal. Will a deal ultimately get done? Probably not. I mean, if you're betting on this, if DK is going to be a Packer, you're probably betting no, right? I'll kind of believe it when I see it. But as I think Aaron Nagler tweeted out, like, hey, there's where there's smoke, sometimes there's fire. And there's a little bit of smoke there. We've heard it from a couple people now. And I know Justice Mesquita is very happy about it. He's been on the DK to the Packers bandwagon. I think he's been leading the charge. And again, there is a very logical reason as to why this could work for both teams. So we'll see. Whether, again, it gets done, I'm going to say probably not if I were betting today, but I don't think it's impossible either. Some other miscellaneous notes from around the Packers sphere. Rob Domofsky was on ESPN Milwaukee, and he said that he talked to an agent, and this agent's usually on top of all the free agent stuff. And he said to Rob, your team, or the Packers in this case, are going to be a player in free agency. Enlisted corner, defensive lineman, and wide receiver as the positions that Green Bay is going to be targeting in free agency. Also, Rob in that conversation brought up DJ Reed as a possible option that Green Bay could be interested in. And that was, again, talking to that agent as well. I don't really see that. I think that would be a little bit surprising. He plays the game the right way. He's a really fun player. He's not usually what Green Bay looks for in a height, weight, speed sort of player. I wouldn't hate it because he, again, is a very good player. I think it would be an overpay, but you know what? Like I said, everyone's probably going to be an overpay, so you have to make a determination at some point. I think the bigger takeaway here is not necessarily DJ Reed, but that this specific agent really believes that Green Bay is going to be a significant player in the market. And again, corner, defensive line, and wide receiver are the three specific positions. Other news, Matthew Stafford back with the Rams. They renegotiated the contract. That could open up Aaron Rodgers potentially to the Giants. We'll keep an eye on that. I also, the other day, mentioned like some under-the-radar players that maybe Green Bay would consider. I mentioned Alaric Jackson, the Rams offensive tackle, and said he's a very underrated player. He's super talented. Like, if you can somehow find a way to get him, and it isn't going to break the... Well, the Rams apparently have watched the film on their own player as well, as you would expect. And Alaric Jackson got a 3-year, $57 million deal, $19 million per year. That would have been a non-starter for Green Bay anyway. But really big deal for him, and he is now officially off the market as well. And then last but not least, the Packers are announcing, or did announce, that they are raising ticket prices again, a pretty significant increase this time around. That obviously only affects season ticket holders, and I guess maybe some resale value and things like that. Also, Green Bay is nuking season ticket privileges to people who have not used any of their tickets and have only sold them for a significant, or for a period of time, I'll just put it that way, for more than a year. And I love that. I absolutely love it. If you're just reselling, and you're just never using them, that's not what the season tickets are for. It's not a scheme to make money. It is for Packer fans to go and enjoy the Green Bay Packers. And I get, I'm not saying that this isn't how it works. I get the economics of it. I get all of it. But from a Packer standpoint, they want Packer fans in that stands. They don't want people that are just selling the tickets for the sake of selling tickets and trying to make money off of it. So I'm all for it. I love that Green Bay is doing that. The ticket price raise, it's a little bit different. I got to go to a Packer game when I was a kid, and we were lucky enough that my parents did have season tickets, but I'm not doing this today in a large part, and I'm certainly maybe not following the league as much. If I didn't have the opportunity to go to that game where Brett Favre came in for Don Majkowski and threw the touchdown to Kittrick Taylor in the back of the end zone, there is a long-term cost if it's too expensive to bring kids into games. I was baptized in green and gold by going to that game. It was basically destiny from there on out, right? Like, what was I going to do after seeing Kittrick Taylor catch the touchdown in the back of the end zone from an entering Brett Favre game winner in my end zone? My dad holds me up over his head. Those are moments that you remember forever. And I will once again say, I understand the economics of it. I'm not saying Green Bay needs to give, you know, tickets at, you know, well below face value or like what the value should be or anything like that. But I do want it to be something where families can go and enjoy a Packer game as well. And it's starting to get to a point where the ticket prices are very exorbitant. Now, it's that way throughout the NFL. I'm not accusing the Packers of doing anything that every other team's not doing. Nothing against the Packers in this scenario, nothing against the NFL, nothing against a free market economy, nothing against all of that. I hope that where things are at still right now, that, you know, if a family wants to go to a game, they don't look at it and be like, oh, four tickets, you know, $200 a piece, $800 for a day at Lambeau. I get it. That's what the going rate is. And it's going to be more than that, you know, potentially on the open market, depending on all those sort of things as well. But you could lose out on some of those really cool moments for kids getting to go to games. So that's my only take there. Again, Green Bay's not doing anything out of bounds by any stretch of the imagination, but I just hope it doesn't affect the future generations and not being able to see games, because it had, again, such a profound impact on me. And I hope other kids will be able to experience those same things as they're going through and wanting to get to games as well. That's going to do it for me today. Thank you so much for joining me. Always appreciate it. Shout out to our All-Pro and Hall of Fame members, Most Hated Minnesotan, PJ Wynn, John Wild, Brandon Paletta, Jennifer Wright, Boom Handle, Donna Lee, Lori Lord, Baby QB, David McCluskey, Donald Decker, Alex Swanger, Arnaldo Espinosa, Peter Ataka, Jay Zimmerman, B. Brown, Puerto Rican Packer, Dan Guestford, Stepkeep, Dylan Patscott, Bobby Santoro, SoCal Pack, Chris Rager, Izzy Roberts, Ian Ewing, Rasul Douglas Time, Jake Conner. I'll see you guys tomorrow, but until next time, and as always, go Pack, go.